B-Pod Studios.
In the past, we've tried to bring you some of the legendary names in sports broadcasting. We've had Chris Schenkel on this show, and we've had Charlie Jones, and a man who I like to think gave the American Football League life. Kurt Gowdy's on the phone. Hi, Kurt.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Do you miss broadcasting day?
Not really. I don't. You know, the traveling got to be atrocious. And I used to travel about an average of 250,000 miles a year. I would do football and a basketball, and then a major league game of the week. And then I would do a sandwich in the American Sportsman Show that took me all over the globe.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you were the voice of the Red Sox for a lot of years.
Yeah, I did. Did the radio, TV, the head man of the Red Sox for 15. I came up with the Yankees in 1949. I won a national audition. I was 25 years old at work with Mal Allen. Then I was there 2 years. The Red Sox offered me their top job. And I went up there. And through 65, and then NBC came up with this game of the week. And that seemed to me to be a better thing for me and my family, one day a week. And I took it, then 3 or 4 years later, I'm gone all week. They're doing the Monday night game, the Saturday game. That was a great package for NBC, that game of the week.
How many World Series did you call?
16.
Wow. I mean, you were the voice of the World Series, too. I mean, NBC had that.
All-star game, the World Series. Yeah,
absolutely.
I was lucky. You know, you got to be with a network, or say you're with a network, that's got the rights to things. If you don't, you don't broadcast them.
Tell me about back in the days of the American Football League, and they approached you and said, hey, Kurt, how would you like to call AFL games? I mean,
wasn't exactly the way it happened.
Tell me about it.
And the way it happened is in 1960, ABC, which had no sports department, not one person in it, ABC's last in news or last in everything, but if you want to do something exciting, get into sports, because these other two networks got such fine programming and news that they're not really into it. So they made a bid for the NCAA football game of the week in 1960 and 61, and they won it. So we had a hit package on our hands for 2 years, and Paul and I were very happy, and then they lost it to CBS in 1962. Now, we'd each signed 3-year contracts. So ABC Arledge came to us and said, look, you got another year to go in your contract. And CBS had already offered me the job to go over and do the college football for CBS. But, you know, I had another year to go, and I honored my contract. And I said, well, what do you want us to do? He says, the AFL. At Christmas, I quit. He was a quarterback on Chicago's dream backfield of Trippy, Angsman, Harder. And he was All-American at Missouri. And so he thought this was a little bit below him. And I talked him into doing the games with me. And so we started off in 1962, and the AFL wasn't much then, but every year I was in it, you could see it getting better and better and better. And I kept trying to tell people, but nobody would listen to you, because the NFL has such a brand name in America. And when we went out to do the first Super Bowl game, and God, I just thought the other day, I did the first one.
Both networks covered that
first
Super Bowl.
Both networks, first time and only time, the two networks ever did the same game. CBS did the production, and Crisp and I could have been in Billings, Montana, to do the game. We had a microphone in the booth, and we took CBS's pictures, and that's the way it went. I had a great curiosity factor of that first game. I really wondered how the AFL would play against the NFL, and they played very well for a half. It was 14-10, I think, at halftime, Green Bay, but then they fell apart in the second half. Green Bay had won that game by 2 or 3 touchdowns, and then they beat Oakland in the same score the next year, and everybody debunked the AFL. Well, what everybody forgot was that Green Bay beat everybody, the hell out of everybody in their own league. They were just by far the superior team in pro football.
So what you're saying is football really hasn't changed all that much.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Then, of course, Super Bowl III.
I did Super Bowl III, which is probably the most memorable game I ever did. It wasn't the best game, but the Jets upset Baltimore, 20-point underdogs. The next year, Minnesota got beat badly by the Kansas City Chiefs. And the AFL won 9 of the 10 Super Bowls in the 70s. The Dolphins' perfect season. I did 7 of their games of that perfect season.
How good of a team were they?
They were great. They were a great team. The one game that they nearly lost was in the second game of the year in Minneapolis. They won that game 16-13 on a late drive. and a pass to Mandich from Bob Greasy. That's really the only close game they had all year. The Super Bowl game was a score that sounded pretty tight, but actually the Dolphins were a far superior team to the Redskins. That's the game where your premium became a great passer.
Yeah, who can forget that?
Yeah.
Everybody we've talked to in your business has a Howard Cosell story. What's yours?
You know, Howard was a good friend of mine, and I liked him. You had to learn to take the ego. He'd talk about himself all the time. He was a very insecure man, but he was a talented guy. I used to kid him. I said, you couldn't diagram an in run. He memorized all the publicity guides. There. He had a very keen mind, and he was a brilliant guy. I'll never forget, in Super Bowl III, I came down at the Americana Hotel into the lobby to go out to broadcast the game. As I stepped off the elevator and started across the lobby, I hear this voice, Cowboy, Cowboy. He used to call me Cowboy because I'm from Wyoming. I look around, there's Cosell holding the court there. He had a big cigar and some guys around him. And he got up and walked over to me. Now, this is before he latched on to Muhammad Ali and before he got on Monday Night Football. He really wasn't a national figure then. He was a local figure in New York. And he was a tough guy on local TV. Really, he got, especially on Weeb Eubank. Eubank hated him. He says, Cowboy, you're going to break Joe Willie Namath's legs today. I said, what do you mean? He says, they'll kill him. Big Bubba will fracture his legs. I said, are you kidding? I says, he's got a bum knee, Howard, but nobody's going to break his legs. They haven't yet. Oh, Cowboy, he says, you're pitiful. You're a shill for Roselle. You're a shill for the NFL. He says, this will be a disgrace, this game. And he got me mad, and I says, listen, Howard, I'll make you a bet the Jets give them a good ball game. I really thought the Jets would. I didn't think they'd beat them. But the Jets had a good team. He says, Cowboy, he says, you're an idiot. He turned and walked away. I got out in the car with Dero Gattis, and we were riding out to the Orange Bowl. And I said, geez, that guy got me steaming. And I said, you know, I like him. He and I have a lot of... He was a fun guy in private. He and I used to have a lot of fun. We hung around in the Montreal Olympics. He came up and stayed in my home, and I stayed at his apartment. And he ended up sad. He wrote
that, he did.
He wrote that book and criticized his partners and everything. And he was sick at the end, and he sort of became a recluse. And I'll tell you a true story. I heard he was sick, and I called him up one day, and he answered the phone. Hello. I said, Howard, Kurt Gowdy. Yes. You know, I was a little embarrassed. I said, well, listen, is this a bad time for you? No. I said, well, Howard, I said, how you feeling? He says, Cowboy, Deer Door stinks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I said, well, listen, Howard, I said, I'll call you another time. And he hung up. I mean, it was strange.
Yeah.
Last time I ever talked to him.
The most interesting person you ever had the opportunity to interview?
Ted Williams is the most interesting man and one of my best friends that I've ever met in sports, and a very great interview, who's intelligent and outspoken. And
he had a problem with the Boston fans for a long time.
Well, yeah, he was a sense. He was 19 years old when he came up in the majors, rookie of the year his first year, knocked in 130 or 40 runs. Greatest hitter I ever saw. Handsome as a movie star, very volatile and excitable. And Bobby Doerr told me his first year in Boston, when he hit a home run, he'd round the bases waving his cap at the fans. The next year, they moved the right field stands in about, ended up 380. It was over 400 feet out there. And they made a bullpen out of it, the visitor's bullpen. And Williams hit less home runs his second year than he did his first year, even after they moved the stands in for him. He hit it for a better average, though, and the fans started to boo him. And he got really mad. He didn't like anybody with fair weather.
And it was a grudge that he held for a lot of years.
He held it till he quit.
Yeah.
Also, the press was attacking him all the time. He was an easy target, you know. He was very vulnerable, and he was outspoken. And they got on him when his wife had a baby, and he was down the Everglades fishing and stuff like that. And he would get mad and tell them all off. And he had a war with the media. I went up there in 51 to do the Red Sox. I did his last 10 years he played. I used to talk to him. I said, Ted, you're a star now. You got to accept this, and you're in a goldfish bowl. Why do you fight back? He said, damn, guys. He said, you know, pop up with a bases loaded or I drop a fly ball to lose a game, they can get on me all they want. I deserve it. I don't deserve him poking into my mother, and my, she worked for the Salvation Army. His brother was a wound up in jail, and his father was an alcoholic, and he was ashamed of that. He was a very honorable guy, Ted Williams. He was a great Marine officer, but he was ashamed of that, and he couldn't ever understand why the press went that way and went into his private family life and his mother and father and brother and everything. And I said, well, that's the price you pay for being great and being famous. I said, I know it's tough.
Which sport was your favorite one to call?
My best sport starting out was basketball. And the man drove through Cheyenne one night, heard me doing a high school basketball game, and hired me to come down to Oklahoma and do the Oklahoma U football games. And I thought, you know, I knew a little something about football, but I got down to the football mad country, and I found out I was really lacking. I really went to work on it. And Bud Wilkinson became the head coach, and he really helped me. I worked hard on my football.
But if they told you, Kurt, if the word came down right now and they said, guess what, Kurt, you can only call one sport, and that'll be it, and you'll be the best at that, what sport would you pick right now?
Professional football.
If you take all the sports, lump it all into one, the greatest athlete you ever saw.
I think Jimmy Brown.
Greatest game you ever saw or called.
Now, that was a Christmas Day game between Miami and Kansas City that went deep into the sixth period, the longest game ever played, and a dramatic game. It was a perfectly played game, only two or three turnovers the whole time, and Miami won under the full moon in Kansas City with your premium's field goal. It was a great, great game, and I think the best game I ever broadcast.
Kurt, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, I'd like to be on again some other time.
Well, I just might call you.
Great.
All right, Kurt, thank you.
Kurt.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you planning anything special?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Faye. I was wondering how we were going to get into this little Fespic epic, one that's guaranteed to set radio back a good 10 years. A little music.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as an Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws ties and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. To us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
business of taking lives and saving virginity. Or is it the other way around? F*** it. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, get it out of you. Hey, everybody.
I had forgotten how good that interview with Kurt Gowdy was. He was the voice of our generation.
He was the guy that was on
everything.
After I had... it was in that time of late November, early December, when you're just past Thanksgiving and looking forward to Christmas, and a young Mark Haney would have gone out and maybe tried to catch a couple of fish, maybe played a little football outside, and then come in, and on the TV, for the big second half action, there'd be Kurt Gowdy.
Yep. Baseball, football were his thing, the Olympics.
And you don't think about it at that time, the age that we were.
Right.
But in hindsight, you realize when you heard his voice, it was a comforting thing.
Yep. And look, find it. He's been dead for 13 years. We did that one probably about 21 years ago with him. He had been retired. And here's the thing. And it was this way when we used to talk to Kreshenkel. These mm-hmm. were iconic voices that had retired.
Best of the best.
And they were living a quiet life. That interview, I played what you just heard. I played maybe barely 11 minutes of it. He was on the air with us for about 35 minutes. And what happened is, and you can hear a little bit of it there, but when you hear the full interview, which probably nobody will ever hear again, he comes
no,
on.
No, they'll be available in the Smithsonian yes. when we're done.
He came on, thinking a regular interview, and was very, you know, standoffish. Hello, how are you? By the time he got finished with us, he heard the end. Hey, call me back sometime. I'd love to talk.
Well, you and I talked about it at length at the time, and what we were up against is radio itself. Because radio, for many shows that are no longer around, radio was about the quick gag, the quick laugh, let's see who we can embarrass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody like Kurt Gowdy, he's retired. He's not up for that. But somebody that wants to talk to him like a human being,
yep.
that actually appreciates what he did, yeah, they got all day. And I don't mean just in a kiss-ass sense. They'll answer legitimate criticism, too, mm-hmm. as long as they know you're sincere.
Yep, and not playing games with them. And he was fantastic.
And once that light goes on for a guest, when they realize, okay, these guys aren't trying to ambush me, that gets checked off. And then they listen a little further and go, okay, these guys aren't pandering to me. They know what actually went on.
He loved it. And I, looking back on it, I wish we had him on more. I have a bone to pick with him.
He just walked in.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to...
Yeah, you all right, Dave?
Yeah, What's the matter with you?
I'm fine,
what
guys.
Are you on?
Were you sweating?
No.
It's the
just
withdrawal.
Okay, Stan.
Withdrawal? Yeah.
What the hell?
I've not known him to be like that.
I don't know. What's up? What have I done
you
now?
You jonesing?
No, man. What
is
have
he
I
on
done?
Something now?
No.
Look at me. He was out drinking last night, I'll tell you that much.
Were you?
I had 3 beers at the house.
That's
yes.
a lie.
Anyways,
so that's one beer less than he normally has.
Yeah, three means six, and they were tall boys, right?
Well, of course, 16 ounce. What do you think?
Okay, no, he buys a four pack for $3.49 of Natty Ice, and he only drank three of them, which means he didn't really feel like drinking last night.
I didn't. It was more. Just
you had to.
I
you made me look bad.
How? Whoa. How is that possible?
You know, and I'm not gonna. But I this morning, and I had a sixth sense about it. But this morning, I was in my living room and I was reading the news, and I just simply said, "Dave, the great Tim Conway died yesterday," mm-hmm. and he comes right in and tells me, you know, he passed away, but his mind was good and he was sharp. And
from the story I read, yes.
Dementia.
He was at home.
He had dementia.
Well, not from the story said that he did not.
The thing that he died from was a complication from dementia.
Well, the story I read said that he was sharp as a whip.
What else did the story say?
When he was alive, when he was working.
Towards the end is what I read. I got to pull this story up.
Passed away from dementia.
You don't understand. Dave has access to things that you don't.
Yes.
Like, he can watch movies that are still in the theater.
Absolutely.
And he can read any newspaper at their paywall.
Yeah, before it's written, I can read it.
Don't go on the radio, especially on the Stan and Haney show, and say stuff that's not true. That's why you didn't have that Saturday night show.
You know what?
Are you kidding me?
You're just jealous because he can watch the Avengers movie.
Exactly.
The man died. He was suffering from dementia.
You know what happens to you, Stan?
What?
You go up to read a story, and then a pop-up comes up and says, "We're glad you're enjoying our content. Would you consider subscribing? Because otherwise, you're not going to see the end of the story." For him, never even sees the window.
That's right. You know why? Because all my windows say, "Come to the CIA."
You are so glassy-eyed, it's not
because I've had a long...
Cool weekends in the afternoon. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Tuesday. Wednesday afternoon. Jeez, I lost a day.
That's fine. Do that all the time. So don't take us one day further.
No. Wednesday.
Tuesday.
No, it's Wednesday.
Tuesday, and then we'll be surprised.
I just surprised myself.
I happen to know that the audience appreciates that.
Yeah, no, they don't. They want to get through the week.
They do, but then when they find out it's already Wednesday, when they're thinking it's Tuesday, it puts them in a much better mood.
Smarter than Haney today, and up for grabs, it'll be winner's choice if you defeat Haney. Busch Gardens tickets or WWE tickets?
You know, I know we'll occasionally get the email. I hear it from people all the time. Oh, man, I heard that. Are you smarter than I got them all right. It doesn't bother me.
It's a different ball game when
you're
on.
You know what? Phone lines are open.
Yeah. It's a different
ball
game.
Ain't hard to find.
So many people tell us, hey, man, I win at home all the time.
And I got to do it every week with an open mic and all of the distraction.
I'll be honest, I can't remember the last time you lost. It's been a while.
It happens.
It happens on occasion. But I don't remember. It's been months and months and months.
I think in the old Farmer's Almanac, it predicts it there along with, you know, Blue Moon.
Harvest Moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is this? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, how you guys doing? This is Gary down in Naples.
Oh, hey, Gary.
Gary.
Hey, I heard the Kurt Gowdy interview, and it brought back memories from 60 years ago. My dad took me to Fenway Park when I was 8 years old.
Yeah, he was the voice of the Red Sox.
Yeah, so we sat in the Skyview seats, which at the time were like about $4, which was really expensive. And it's right near the press box. After the game ended, we're walking down the ramp. Here comes Kurt Gowdy with his cowboy hat on, that special one that Wyoming cowboy hat he used to wear. With a vest with all of his flies hanging on it.
Yeah, he was a fisherman.
Sure, my dad looked over and says, "Where are you going, Kurt?" He says, "I got to meet Ted downstairs. We're going fly fishing."
And that's the truth. That's the truth. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. U.S. 41.
Didn't he used to hang around here?
Who, Gowdy?
The Splendid Splinter.
Oh, yeah. You go up to Tropicana Field, That's the, they got the Ted Williams Museum at Tropicana Field. You walk in there, they got a whole museum to him up there.
But I thought he was more Southwest Florida.
But he lived, I want to say Fort Lauderdale.
Was it?
Yeah.
Maybe he just liked to fish over here a lot. Everybody does.
And then his son froze him.
You know, Bush family seems to get a kick out of it.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, have you heard the latest new vehicle out there?
Move over, Chevy Suburban and Toyota Sequoia. Now get ready for the biggest SUV ever, the Fordzilla. No problem transporting the whole team to the football game. This thing is huge. It's perfect for families like the Duggars who just keep having kids. Seats 23 comfortably. Ooh. The Fordzilla is so big, it even has its own Starbucks.
I've got a grande java chip double espresso for mom.
Forget about fitting it into your garage. It'll barely fit in your driveway. The Fordzilla.
Yeah.
Because 8 kids is a lot, but 19 kids is, well, you do the math.
I wonder if they do those custom.
Oh, you know they do.
You know, forget the kids. I just want to make that into a nice living space and game room.
Yeah, upgrades.
So Dave drives me around. I'm playing Xbox.
It's too much vehicle for him.
He says he can drive a semi.
He can't even drive a stick shift.
Oh, I forget. You've got experience trucking.
Well, I sure do. I snapped my share of axles.
Yeah. How long was your career?
About 2 months.
And how'd that end?
Not well. I had to
mouth off to the boss?
No, well, kinda. I'll tell you real quick. My old man didn't like the fact that I was going to college.
Because it's for pussies.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
Didn't he teach you anything?
Now keep in mind.
Didn't he teach you anything going off to college?
Keep in mind.
You want to wreck your life,
Stan? I was a kid, I had to save all my money. My allowance, he'd wave a $20 bill in front of me. Here's your allowance, son, but I'm keeping it for your college. A lot of that. So when college
did a
time,
lot of that.
So when college time came.
He put a lot of money away for you.
Sure did. Never saw a penny of it.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I was going to college, and he said, "What are you doing for summer break?" And I said, "Well, I'm taking."
Why did you let him talk you into getting jobs that have done nothing but maim you?
It's true. He said, "I'm going to have you're going to work this summer, save for college."
Which means handing him the money.
Yeah. He said, buddy of mine owns a lumber yard. You're going to go work there this summer. What?
Yeah, you were so good on the farm. Obviously, you'd be great in a lumber yard.
Yeah, so I get to the lumber yard. Well, I learned a lot about wood. And the truck I had to drive.
I'll test you right now if you learned anything about wood in Florida.
What?
Yeah. It's between you and me. You can't beat that Dade County pine.
As long as it's pressure treated.
Okay.
You got to pressure treat the pine. That way it won't soak up the moisture.
The what? You mean the Dade County pine?
The Dade County pine. So, they gave me. Now, this was 1981. They gave me a probably 1970 truck, had 8 forward gears on it.
Now, was this more complicated than your World War II truck that you were driving?
Different, because it went faster. It went a whole lot faster. And it had the air brakes that the truckers go, and I had to go and get a special license. There's no need for me to work at the lumber yard. What do I... Got to go to the DMV and get take a test and get a special license to drive a lumber truck?
Now, I've heard this story before. I never knew that it was him that put you up to it.
He was the one that said, you're going to work. Mm. I didn't go volunteer and work in 98-degree heat stacking lumber and driving
truck. I never knew that
truck.
It was him, though. That's interesting.
So I had to go and get my license and all that, and you know the area very well.
But you were in college. You couldn't tell them no.
Oh, there came a time where I told them no, and then I didn't talk to them for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I said, this is bolt, and you're done. So
this was like your last act of compliance.
Yeah, this was 81. I stopped talking to him in 82. So in Titusville, now this was in the lumber yard was in Melbourne. Titusville, which was north of Melbourne on
way
the east
north.
Coast.
Yeah.
Long drive. Was still in those days, I don't know what it's like now, but still pretty virgin land where they were knocking down and building condos and apartment complexes on these country roads. It would be in the middle of nowhere. They would overload the truck because it was a long drive, so they would have it well above the weight limit. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about driving afraid when you're overloaded with lumber and the belts are the only thing holding it on and you can feel the whole truck
shift
and move. So the foreman tells me, you're going to get up to Titusville, you're going to go, and you're going to see a sign, a construction sign, and there's a dirt road. You better be going at a clip, because at the bottom of the dirt road before you get to where the complex is being built, there's probably a good 10 inches of mud. So you got to go and fly through that that mud to get through, or you're going to get stuck.
In a big truck.
I had made a couple of trips. Close calls. It's like, Jesus Christ.
You were barely going fast enough?
Barely, and just make it through. Because you're going there, and there are people walking around. There's foremans and laborers
and
right in the middle of the road, and you're coming in flying.
And there's expert trucker Stan in the middle of it.
And I had just gotten my license. So, going up there, doing it was 90-something degrees. It was humid. It was, get to the same spot. I know where it is now. I go and downshift a little bit. I'm going to go, and because you're going up a little bit of a hill, get some speed going, shift down, and go through the thing.
Don't want to get stuck.
I got stuck. I missed it by just a little bit. Now, Stan, college boy, just got his special license to drive the truck. I got everybody at the complex laughing their ass off because the punk college boy just got the
hands on hips, knee slapping.
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. And so one of the foremen comes out and says, now you go real slow, put that thing in reverse and get it out of that mud. So I throw a thing in reverse and I'm letting the clutch out easy, giving it a little bit of gas, and snap. More laughter.
And all you're doing is what he told you to do.
You just effing snapped the axle, you son of a bitch. There's no cell phones in these days.
Yeah, it didn't exist.
So I go and use the phone that's inside the trailer that they got down there. I called, first of all, I called my the lumber yard, told them, truck's broke, axle snapped. I got to call a wrecker to have them haul me out of the mud. Let's say that this was 10 o'clock in the morning. Let's just say this was 10 o'clock in the morning when this happened. Well, took about an hour and a half for the wrecker to get out there. Meanwhile, I'm standing around. I'm dying because they're all there drinking their Coca-Colas and waters and all that. Mine's back at the lumber yard. Wrecker comes in, hauls it out. They look underneath. Yep, snapped right in two.
Yep.
Wrecker says, do you need a ride back to the lumber yard? I said, yeah, I'm going to need a ride back. They had other trucks there.
Yeah, they didn't say ass, cash, or grass.
No, he was a nice enough guy. Took the truck. Now, had to haul it out of the mud. That took a long time. Then they had to winch it up. Then we had to drive from Titusville.
All the way back.
Back down to where his shop was. Drop the truck off. And then they took me back to the lumber yard. So it was probably 2:45 in the afternoon by the time I got to the lumber yard. The son of a bitch boss at the lumber yard, who I didn't like one bit, comes up. He goes, "Yeah, we sent you out there about 9 o'clock. Yeah, I got up there about 10. Well, it's coming up on 3 o'clock now. You sure you weren't dogging it?"
Oh.
And I said, "Dogging it? Well, you know how much that's going to cost. You got, we warned you about snapping that axle in that mud." I said, "Dogging it?" I said, "I didn't even have anything to drink out there. I didn't have any lunch, and I was in 98-degree heat as they would be hauling me out of, 2 feet of mud. Dogging it?" And I had my keys to the lumber yard right there, and I tossed them the keys. I said, "Have fun. Hey, college boy. You know, you may be quitting your job right now, but this is my career." I said, "You gonna tell me I was dogging it? I was up in effing Titusville with a snapped axle in mud in 98-degree heat with everybody having a show." I said, "You can keep your damn lumber job." Walked out.
And there you go. That's one of the times that Stan snaps. Because he took it all day.
All day long. Dogging it?
Dogging it put him over the edge.
You know, we missed half a day here getting lumber out. Dogging it?
Now, you walk out of the lumber yard, you got to be getting a phone call at some point from your father. Because the first thing he did was call him, I'm sure.
The day went on. My old man, I talked to him at the end of the day. No call to my old man. I told him. And he said, "I'm going to go and give him a call. You're going to be out there tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, "No, I'm not."
So that conversation happened.
Oh, yeah. I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not doing that." It was probably, and I would come back to town to visit my mom when I was at UCF, and I'd always drive by the lumber yard. You know where it was? Right by the Humane Society.
Apollo?
Right near there, where they would cremate them. It was right next door, and I would always drive. He wound up going out of business. I don't know because of me, but...
Yeah. Make a good story if it was.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Let's go ahead and say that.
Sweet revenge.
Want to go ahead and put that in the record?
All long gone. The other truck they used to have me drive, which was fun to drive, was a much smaller. It was a pickup truck made into a flatbed.
But they found out you liked it and took you off it?
Had three on the tree.
Yeah.
Where it shifted. It was fun. All right, sorry about that.
And that was
folks.
It. And you didn't talk to him again?
Never talked to him again. Never.
That was the hill.
I still remember the name of the lumber company, too. Fuller Lumber.
But that was the hill.
That was it.
After all those years, that was it.
Don't accuse me of dogging. Don't. Don't ever. I busted my ass at that place.
In hindsight, would you say that's the day Stan became a man?
That was the start of it. Also, when you go and have to work four jobs to put yourself through college, and they say, "Where's the check?" Yeah.
Oh, there's no problem. My dad's been saving up
saving
all
money,
these years.
All my allowances and, insurance settlement.
And various other funds.
Yep. Jeez. Jeez. All right, let's move on.
But good for you. It's a shame that it had to get that dramatic.
Well, that was one. I mean, everybody has things during their lives that which.
But
are,
that was a life changer.
It was a life changer.
That day forward, things were different.
I didn't take any more BS.
Mm-hmm. And as a young person, you've got to be pushed pretty far.
And you know this when you're young. Well, kids today, I don't know. I think there are some out there. When I was young, I took any kind of work I could possibly get. When I was in college, I had four jobs. Two of them, three radio jobs. one in Melbourne, two in Orlando, and I also worked for Photomat, and I was a full-time student. I remember I came home when I would work myself no sleep. I came home one holiday to my mom's place, came through the door. She didn't recognize me. I was like, are you, what is wrong with you? Because I was just, I was skin and bone, and I was, my brain was mush.
But somehow, when you open that mic up, it all made sense.
It made sense. One day, I'll tell you. I ain't got time now, and I don't want to get into it. I was working, when I was working all those radio jobs, I was working for a radio station in Orlando for the sports department. I've brought his name up before. His name was Frank Vaught, and he was the sports director at Magic 99. Perry Moore, when he got back into radio, went to Magic 99.
They did a ton of promotion for that. I remember that.
And I worked for Frank Vaught. I basically did his running around for him when there had to be interviews and all of that stuff. And I had a broken down car. And I will one day tell you the story when he sent me out to cover the very first Butkus Award when Brian Bosworth won the Butkus Award. And it turned into an absolute hell nightmare. I snapped that day, too, to his face. And he didn't give me any more problems. And about 5 years later, he died. So I was kind of glad.
It worked out well for everyone.
It did. We're going to take a break. I'll have the grab bag when we come back.
That's assuming we can get through it.
Right. Smarter than Haney.
Because as good as the grab bag is, I'm far more interested in this.
Somebody just said, stop dogging it, Stan, and get on with the show. Don't even. Don't even.
Dogging it? Dogging it?
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Did you say
96 A nonstop thrill ride that'll keep you on the edge of your seat. Coupled with a tender love story that will leave you openly weeping.
What the hell?
If we could just pull that off, we'd be friggin' rich. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for spending it with us. Greatly appreciated. We'll continue with the grab bag here in just a second. Also want to remind you, a half hour away from Are You Smarter Than Haney? Yeah, let's get on with the grab bag. That story right now, as I'm sitting here, affected me.
But that was a huge milestone for you.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
What changed that day?
I was tired of taking a lot of crap.
Because you had up until then.
Yep. And
you didn't like it.
No. Oh, there was, trust me, there was more crap to come. But I just started saying, enough's enough. Enough's enough. What's going on out there?
Stop and chat.
Yeah. Right in front of the studio doors. You know, back, if you want to talk, when I was starting out in this business, if a salesperson, office person, anyone got near the studio door when that light was on, they'd be suspended. Well, told to go home.
You're absolutely right. It was a different world.
Yeah.
You used to have, in multiple stations, multiple general managers reprimanded people for doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd walk if back, they saw you.
If they came down the hall and saw that going on, it would go nuclear.
Yep. Stay away from the studio. You got something to say to the on-air jock? A lot of times it might be the program director on the air or somebody, a music director, he does a shift. You talk to him after the show.
It used to be that light comes on, it's locked now.
Yep. Get away.
Not such a big deal nope. anymore. Who cares?
Yeah. A grab bag continues now. Actually, you got some decent stuff here.
I have no regrets.
Oh, no. Turkeys are mean. I know that firsthand. Turkeys are mean.
You know a little something about that, too.
Yep. We had them on the farm. A neighborhood in Boston is dealing with three wild turkeys that randomly harass and attack people. You'd be coming home from work, getting ready to go.
So they got wild turkeys and you got the zombie raccoons in Chicago.
And these wild turkeys are attacking people. And you know when a turkey's ready to attack, they're mean.
And they're dumb.
And there's not a dumber bird.
It's extremely scary. It's frightening. If you're walking, they come up extremely, extremely close to you, and they come forward as if they're going to bite you.
The one incident I had was with my mailman. I heard a lot of commotion. I looked outside, and they had him cornered across the street.
My husband has gone out maybe 4 to 5 times to sweep them away from various people. I'm actually fearful to just go walking on my own.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, they can be mean.
So what do you do to them? You hit him in the head with a shovel? What do you do?
You can try kicking at him and stuff, but they'll keep charging you. I remember we had a turkey on the farm that would do that, and people would come up, and I'd look out the window, and there's the turkey chasing them in circles around the car. They got to get real fast and jump into the car, lock the door, and the damn bird's standing right there all puffed up.
So what do you do?
Wait till he, because he forgets quickly. He don't know what he's mad at. They're dumb. And he'll calm down, walk away.
Wander off?
Yeah.
But what if you're not in the mood to take any crap from them?
Then you have to go at him with a stick, a shovel.
Will they eventually realize they're outclassed? Or will they never back down?
It takes a while. You hurt them.
You ever gone one-on-one with a turkey?
Yes, I have.
How did it end up?
Not well for the turkey, but not well for me either.
Well, what happened?
They'll scratch you. They got big claws. They come at you.
Well, would you go at it barehanded?
You're walking around the barn, and then suddenly around the corner, there's a turkey that wants you.
Well, I know it pissed you off. What'd you do to it?
I would grab a pitchfork and stuff like that.
Give it a little poke?
Yeah, and then they'd run away. They forget why they're attacking you.
So it's not that they realize that they've been dominated. They just forget.
A little bit of both. Really, and they're not going to win this one, and something else distracts them. This is an amazing story.
So if a turkey's coming after you and you got a buddy over beside you with a shiny coin.
Yep, it'll work.
Hey, look over there.
Yep, throw a bucket of water on him.
Does that work?
I did that.
Did it work?
Yeah, then they forget what they were doing. They run away.
Oh, my feathers are wet.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
63-year-old farmer in Nebraska had to cut off his own leg last month. He was transferring a load of grain into a bin and got his leg caught in the long metal screw that moves the grain down to the top of the bin. He was alone, didn't have a phone. Look at that. That's what moves the grain. And he had to make a decision. What am I going to do?
We were moving corn and taking from one place to the other. But I was in that routine like I always used to do. I didn't think of it. I stepped in the hopper in that little hole. It just sucked my leg in, and I was trying to pull it out. And when it first happened, I can remember telling myself, this ain't good. This is not good at all. Then I had my pocket knife. I thought, well, the only way I'm getting out of here is cut it off. So I just started sawing on it. When I was cutting it, the nerve endings, I could feel them just ping when I'd start sawing around that pipe. And all at once, it went and let me go. So I got the heck out of there. Yeah. It is what it is. Make the best of it is all you can do. Could have always been worse. I paid the price here of being in a hurry and not paying attention.
And he's what, 63, you said?
63 years old.
Think about how many times he's done that with no problem.
Hundreds of thousands of times.
It only takes one.
Yep. So there's this random British guy. He goes online and he can do a bunch of sound effects. Here you go.
All right, Jack. Water drop. Bird noise. Can you open a can for me? Fly noise. Chicken. Cat. Horse. Water spray. Give me a trim.
A trim.
Yeah, that's great, thanks.
He's not that good.
Yeah, I've heard better.
Well, I've heard better, and you're too modest.
I think it's Jack.
Like that, what was that sound you were doing yesterday? Oh, the truck.
Right. Yeah.
You guys not so hot.
Dateline Tampa. And I love the headline. This headline's from out of state, but it happened in Tampa. But if you listen to this show for any length of time, you know it's the truth. The headline. This seems tragic and avoidable. In other words, Florida.
It's not our fault. No. Everybody comes here.
A construction worker showed up to work on a house outside of Tampa last Wednesday. Moved his loaded gun from his waistband to his pocket. Slipped on some debris and accidentally shot and killed a guy on the roof.
Oops.
Detectives have since learned by conducting interviews with one witness that was at the scene and also the subject who fired the shot that the person who fired the shot was unintentionally trying to shoot somebody. The person who fired the shot was actually getting out of his truck, slipped on a piece of construction debris at this point, and he was transitioning the gun between a waistband, his pocket, at some point where the gun is fired unintentionally.
Boy, that was crystal clear, yeah. Officer.
Thank you.
What?
This happens from time to time. It's all over the news today. A 70-year-old guy got fast food drive-thru in Arizona on Monday with his wife's body in the passenger seat. I said body. He says she passed away in Texas during a road trip from Oklahoma to California. Well, he just kept driving. The cops suspect foul play. Here's the cop.
I've been in law enforcement and with the Eloy Police Department for 17 years, and this is the most bizarre case that I have ever seen in Eloy. He tried to wake her up, couldn't wake her up. He loaded her onto a luggage cart and proceeded to place her in his vehicle.
Scared. Like, I was shaking. My heart was pounding, like, super fast. I was just, like, shaky about it. That's when I seen, you know, he had the lady in there. She was, like, completely naked. And the way she was face down, like, laying down. And then I seen, like, her color of her feet were, like, you know, like, purple. He was, like, normal. Like, really normal about it. He was calm. He ordered his food.
He's gotta eat.
Gotta eat. Tim Conway, comedy legend, passed away. He was 85, became a star in the 60s with McHale's Navy. Then, of course, in the 70s on the Carol Burnett Show.
But really reached the height of his powers with the direct-to-video production Dorf on Golf.
Numerous comedies in the 80s with Don Knotts. For you kids out there who grew up with SpongeBob, he was the voice of Barnacle Boy alongside Ernest Borgnine in the SpongeBob SquarePants.
Well, I didn't know SpongeBob had such an all-star cast.
Yeah, man. Here's a little montage. Tim Conway as Barnacle Boy and a couple of sketches from the Carol Burnett Show.
I hate to break it to you kids, but you'll have to go somewhere else. Our power got knocked out in the storm. The reason I teamed up with this joker is because I was stuck breathing underwater for the rest of my life.
This also entitles you to a clock you can take with you, use while we're fixing yours. Got some in from Australia. They're all in the shape of a koala.
Take a firm hold of the hypodermic needle.
Right. He had no idea that I was going to immobilize myself with Novocaine. So when I
punched my hand, my head, my leg, the whole thing, and went completely, he actually wet his pants.
I just do what I think is amusing. I did. Boom. It worked.
Mrs. Sawickens?
Yeah. I'm a Mr. Tudball. he was on Piers Morgan, and Piers asked him a question. If he had only 5 minutes to live, what would he do?
You've got 5 minutes to live. You can tell one joke again before you peg it. What would it be?
I would go hold up a bank. I've always wanted to do that. And take as much cash as I could and run out. And once my 5 minutes is up, bang.
You know, that's Junior's dream.
I know. I don't get it.
I don't want to rob a bank.
Me neither. We saw this, remember when years ago when Guitar Hero came out and all of the classic rock songs kids were starting to discover again, going, oh, this stuff's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than the music that's out now.
Yeah, and then they realize as they're playing Guitar Hero, oh, these ones are harder.
Yeah. Same thing's happening now in the movies. Marvel movies. You got your Avengers Endgame out. They're using and they're reviving a lot of classic rock in their soundtracks that kids today who just want to go see the Avengers movie are hearing this music going, what the heck? Here's the one that has really got the kids going, hey, this isn't that bad. And it's the opening of Avengers Endgame, and they all want to know, what is this?
Really?
This stuff is awesome. Band is Traffic. Steve Winwood.
Young little Stevie Winwood.
It's called Mr. Fantasy. It was a hit when our parents enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Grab bag. Pewter mug north.
No, I'm telling you, the Brian Mays and Freddie Mercury's of today, they may have a band for a brief period of time, but they'll get discouraged. They don't make enough money to live and devote their full time to creating things. It just doesn't happen anymore. And the people that do make enough money to live without making it big, they just got to play other people's songs or they don't get work.
Yep. Want it to be recognizable.
It's not a mystery. I mean, it's the same thing. Glenn Frey, Don Henley, none of that stuff would happen if they couldn't make a living doing it.
Correct. Yeah, it's true. Are you smarter than Haney? Lovely Karen will join us. Up for grabs, Busch Gardens. Maybe you want to go to WWE. We'll do it when we come back. We're Stan and Haney.
As we celebrate our 75th anniversary in showbiz, we'd like to thank the weak-minded among you. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic, news, headlines with Mark Haney.
You know, I have such a good time at work. I was just out back with Matt Mangus, and he and I broke down the career of REO Speedwagon for no reason.
Yeah, well, that's how conversations get started. I mean, like in the front office, what do you guys talk about? In the business office?
I mean, a lot of things, but right now I'm not really talking about too much.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a busy woman.
Yeah, you're training and...
And doing all the things.
Yeah. Is Game of Thrones big in the front office?
There's a lot of people that talk about it. I feel like I need a support group weekly just to like be able to talk about it, but there's not as many people as I would like. I have to kind of venture into this side of the woods to talk to a lot of people.
Mm. It is known.
It is. I love it.
I've never seen an episode.
Oh, my God.
What did you think of that last episode?
Oh, that was insane. We can definitely talk about it.
What
a
turn. Do you know what? What a turn.
That was exactly like my relationship with my last girlfriend. So I was not surprised.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, I say this coming.
I knew it was going to happen. Yeah. When you know the scene I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
You will always be my queen.
Yeah, okay. And drop.
Is that all I am to you? Well, okay then.
Mm-hmm.
I was pissed they killed Varys.
I was pissed about a lot of things.
Can the two
of
you talk about this?
I thought Varys was brilliant.
Screamed at my television a little too much this season.
Do you think Tyrion lives through it all?
I don't know. I would hope so. I don't want to cry anymore.
What made you cry?
What didn't make me cry? There's so many things that have made me cry this season. And I'm like, all right, every time you get any emotional connection to any character, they're dead.
Well, the Hound was my favorite.
That was awesome. That was a good scene. I love how
you could see me
Cersei
being friends
just,
with the Hound.
Oh,
couldn't
yeah.
you?
And she just walked by. Like,
I'd like to play. Yeah,
like let to, me in get the out middle of that.
Yep, like to play like, the game. Yeah.
That was like the only comic relief.
I know.
With
can we play? A game?
And the Hound walks him.
Hany,
your grace.
Yes.
And then Qyburn goes, Sir Gregor, you must obey your.
I guess. I guess. Jeez.
Well, you know what?
Jeez.
I'm sorry you're left out. You Look, made that choice 10 years
oh,
ago.
Yeah.
You made that choice 10 years ago.
Is that
and
how
then.
Long it's been on?
And you know what?
It's been on for a
long
time.
In a couple of years, you watch him.
Yeah.
And he'll start
like, oh,
talking about it like it's new.
Okay, yeah, all right.
He did it to me with Star Wars.
Oh, man.
That's the truth.
And he started watching American Idol in like the 10th season. Hey, Hany, you heard of this American
Idol?
I don't
blame him for that one. I'm not a big Idol fan.
It's the first time I saw it. I said, I think they got a hit. 6 categories. First person to get all 6 will win.
Then the next thing you know, he's renting from Kelly to Justin.
Don't worry. Go.
Yeah. Oh, I got to catch up.
Karen is your lifeline.
Yes.
If you defeat Hany, your choice of one of 2 prizes, a pair of tickets to Busch Gardens or a pair of tickets to WWE SummerSlam Heat Wave Tour coming to Hertz Arena. Those are the prizes up for grabs. You must get at least 2
Is the main event
right.
there going to be Monster versus Tigress?
No.
I heard that
it's
somewhere.
It's Tigress, by the way. I'll get yelled at.
Okay.
Let's play Are You Smarter Than Hany?
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you f***ing try it. Stan's got prizes. Yours for free. If you prove you're smarter than me, it's not easy.
It's hard work.
Stan's trick questions one.
Nothing trick.
Jerk, all those prizes yours for free. Matching wits with Mark Hany. You're a contestant, Stan's the host. I'm the one who knows the f***ing most. If you dare to disagree, simply prove you're smarter than me. I'm a genius, you're a slob. I must beat you, that's my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me, I politely disagree.
Rule, you must get at least 2 right to be eligible for a prize. You defeat them, you're automatic. 6 categories, Karen's your lifeline. You cannot have won anything in the last 30 days to be eligible to play this game. We'd like a first-time player. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this. Ow, wow. That's loud today. It always changes. Incorrect. Taking too long. You lose. Oh. Again, random Stan and Hany listener, that doesn't necessarily mean the first caller. It's got to be a good signal. We got to be able to understand you. Karen.
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this? See what I mean? Ahoy, who's this?
This is David.
David, have you won anything from us in the last 30 days?
No, I have not.
David, have you played this game before?
No, just listen to it.
All right, David, you're in. Say hi to Karen. She's your lifeline.
Hey, Karen, let's do this.
Let's do this, David. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
You must get at least two right to be eligible for a prize. If you defeat Haney, your choice of Busch Gardens or WWE SummerSlam. Six categories they are: geography, entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature, sports and leisure. If your opponent cannot answer the question and you have the category open, you can steal. We start, as always, with Mark Haney. Mark, category?
Geography.
In geography. Listen up, David. If he can't answer it, you can steal. All right?
Okay.
Haney, what city are you in if you visit the mosque of Muhammad Ali and bargain for leather goods at the Khan El Khali market?
You know, somewhere I don't want to be.
What city are you in?
The mosque of
Muhammad Ali
and the market of
leather goods with Khan Al Khali market.
And we're looking for a city?
City.
Zanzibar.
Incorrect. Can you do it there, David?
Oh, Chicago.
Good guess.
It's not Cairo, is it?
It is Cairo.
Damn it.
It is Cairo. David, category.
Let's do arts and literature.
Arts and literature.
Ouch.
Wow. Are you good at arts and literature?
No, but I figured we'd just knock it out of the park anyway.
I can't blame you for that, brother.
All right. What publication, David, calls itself the magazine for women with something to get off their chests? I've never heard of it before.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh.
Oh? No.
Yeah, oh.
Oh, no. Haney, you can steal.
Cosmopolitan?
No. Do you know?
That's what I would have guessed, no.
Bust Magazine.
What?
I don't even know what that is.
Never heard of it.
Is that even published?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Still working?
Haney, category.
Geography.
All right.
God, I should have gone with my first choice.
Yeah, you should have. Haney, in geography, what is the name of the iconic Ferris wheel at Coney Island? Been there forever.
Wonder Wheel.
It is the Wonder Wheel. You're on the Good board. Job. Nice job, Haney. All right, David, category?
Sports.
Sports and leisure. David, in baseball, how many sides does home plate have?
Three.
Incorrect. Jeez. Haney, steal?
Five.
That is correct, and you have control, Haney. Entertainment, history, arts and literature, science and nature.
History.
Haney, which U.S. president served the shortest term in office? Martin Van Buren, William Henry Harrison, Richard Nixon?
Harrison.
Correct. David, you got some work to do. You got Karen as a lifeline. You got your wide open category.
Geography.
Da, 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 da. What state, David, claims cranberry juice as its official state beverage? What state claims cranberry juice as its official state beverage?
I hate cranberry juice.
That doesn't help you here.
It doesn't help you one little bit.
Maine? Yes.
Incorrect. Haney, you already have the category. Karen, you want to guess?
Wyoming?
No, he was in the right area.
Rhode Island?
You're in the right area. Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
Massachusetts. Haney, entertainment, arts and literature, science and nature.
Science. I confused him.
Yeah. Haney, in science and nature.
He had to get it in there.
What does mosquito saliva prevent blood from doing?
Clotting. Coagulating.
You are absolutely correct. Clotting. You are rolling right along. David, now we have these nice prizes up for grabs. Even to be eligible for a prize, you have to get at least two right. Because if you only have none right or one right, we'll say goodbye to you after the game. So you got Karen as a lifeline
right now. We'd like to
right
give
now,
you a prize.
And we'd really like to give you a prize.
I'm going to have Karen's help.
All right, Karen, any category in particular you want her to answer, or is it Lady's Choice?
Lady's Choice.
All right, let's stick to entertainment. Hopefully I can get one for David.
All right. I hope you know this one.
Me too.
I watched it as a kid, but it's been around forever.
Okay.
Karen, for David.
Yes.
To get on the board. What cartoon dog and his pet boy traveled using a machine called the Wayback?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Certainly. It's still around. In fact, I think a few years back there was a movie made about it. What cartoon dog and his pet boy?
So you need both?
Yes, you do. What cartoon dog and his pet boy traveled using a time machine called the Wayback?
I'm sorry, Dave. I have no idea.
Oh, sorry. There it is. Haney?
Oh, the look.
And Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
You are correct. And there's the movie poster for it, too.
Oh, look at that.
Haney's... Probably shouldn't put that up while the question is in play.
No, I wasn't. She already said no. She didn't know.
It was. You're blocking it. I really can't see it unless
I
didn't. Put my head.
I didn't look behind me, but it was there.
I am in a little bit of distress here, David, because Haney is at match point and you haven't gotten one right.
He is the man.
Well, the game's not over yet. It's his
worst
category.
You to get a prize.
Me too.
I do too.
And
you got to help me though.
Now, if he gets this wrong, you're wide open, so you can steal it. It is in arts and literature, Haney.
So there's a good chance I'll miss it.
And I believe, has he used
it? He has not, so I don't know if he wants to.
Do you want
to
use Karen as a lifeline?
I most certainly would.
Let's do this. Right.
I didn't realize I was that far along.
Oh, yeah. you're cleaning up on this thing. This is almost academic.
But I missed the first one.
You did.
Although I got the answer right eventually.
Yeah, eventually you did. This is in arts and literature, Karen, for Mark Haney. What musical, based on a Stephen King novel, closed after only 5 performances in 1988? What musical, based on a Stephen King novel, closed after 5 performances in 1988?
I'm going to guess and go with Carrie.
Is that your final answer?
That is.
Sorry, David. It's Carrie.
Oh.
We can't give him a prize.
The rules are the rules. All right, hold on.
I really want to give him a prize.
Wait a second. I'm going to give you a chance.
Because we only did that to prevent jerks, and he's not a jerk.
No.
Did you tank the game, David?
Yes, I did.
You did tank it.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that and admit it?
Here's
what I'm going to do.
I just failed. All right.
Here's what I'm going to do.
You tried your best, didn't you?
Yes, definitely. Plus, and Karen tried for me, too.
I did.
All right, David, here's the deal. Because we got a little bit of time. Matter of fact, a lot of time. These usually don't go this quickly. But I've got 6 questions I'm going to ask you, okay? And you alone.
You got
no pressure.
Get 2 of them right out of the 6, and I'll give you a prize. All right?
Let's do it.
All right.
You got this, David.
I'm going to try.
Let's see. I'm going to try to find something that he might get.
You got those kids' questions?
Yeah. I got to bring them back in. Oh, no.
Choice.
I think the hurricane ruined them all.
Oh.
It's a different world after Irma.
Yeah, sure is. All right. Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Get at least two right. What is the post office's zone improvement plan better known as? What is the post office's zone improvement plan better known as?
I have no idea, but we got to say going postal.
No.
Can I help him?
Sure. But no, he's missed that one. You can tell him what it is.
He's my lifeline.
No, he's not.
Oh, let me be his lifeline.
You want to be... then he's going to win. All right. You want to be his lifeline? Be his lifeline.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. You with... Is it David?
Yes.
David, you with me?
Yes, sir.
Here's a hint. The answer is zip code.
All right, you got one
zip
right.
Code.
You got one right. You got one right.
You go, David.
Yeah.
So there's one.
Yes.
All right.
There's one.
One down.
All right, here we go. What did Victoria's Secret models first sport on their backs in 1999?
Come on, David.
And Karen can help you with that one if you'd like.
Yeah, that's ladies' question right there.
All
right.
it's a ladies' question. But you have no idea, do you?
I would say a butterfly, but I'm going to go with Karen's answer.
Could you accept the butterfly?
No, I can't accept the butterfly.
It's close. It's going to be angel wings.
Say angel wings.
Yeah, angel wings.
Yeah, there we go. There's the sport.
good job, David.
David.
Thanks, the Stan Karen, and Haney thanks, show Haney. Goes the extra mile.
Yes.
He still... didn't get one
yes,
right.
Yes, he did. He got two
right.
You both gave him the answers.
I don't recall.
That's a very good answer.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about yourself?
No, not today.
Not today, bro.
Now, in order to get the prize, because you didn't defeat Haney, you have to say something to him.
All right.
What do you have to
I
say?
I am not smarter than Haney.
Oh, I disagree.
Hold on. We'll send you over to Rob and you can get your pick your prize.
Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome. Hold on. I don't know about that. Let's close the door on this.
All right. So, Karen.
Yes.
Oh no.
Gosh.
No.
What's happening?
any predictions?
No.
Any predictions for this week?
Because it's the finale.
There's a lot of things that I think are going to happen. I definitely think someone's going to go crazy, if you know who I mean. I don't think that she's going to last very long.
She's already gone crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, men can do a lot of things for you. And she's definitely being driven crazy.
So you blame Jon Snow.
No, absolutely not. No. This has been building up.
But he has been kind of stupid.
It's been building up for a very long time, and I think he deserves his spot, especially after everything that's been happening. So.
And we didn't see Sansa or Bran at all last
week.
No, we didn't.
Do you think we'll see him?
Well, Bran's probably somewhere kind of looking into whatever he's looking into.
He already
taking
knows.
A nap. He knows what's going to happen, so, I mean, he could save everything if he speaks.
What about Arya?
Oh, man. Her and her white horse right now. We'll see where she leads. Yeah, we'll see.
Thank you for stopping by, Karen.
Pleasure.
I know you're a very busy woman.
And I don't think Danny has any idea.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's coming. It's
Guys,
coming.
Guys, thank you so much.
Of course.
We'll take a break. We're Stan and Haney.
Always remember to never forget to listen to Stan and Haney.
Hey, when the hell did we let Stan start writing liners?
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Wednesday edition of the broadcast. Get you updated on traffic for your drive home here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. but you've heard us talking about it. 96K Rock welcomes WWE SummerSlam Heat Wave Tour. It's going to happen on Monday, July 22nd, 7:30 p.m. at Hertz Arena, featuring Kofi Kingston and Kevin Owens for the WWE Championship. Also appearing on the card, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Becky Lynch, The New Day, The Hardy Boys, and many more of your favorite WWE superstars. Tickets will go on sale Friday, 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster and the Hertz Arena box office, but you got a chance to get tickets all this week here on the show. More details at 96krock.com. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Our first look, and it's brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Couple of things on the board, and it's down in Bonita, and things are look pretty messy down there. I got a crash, Bonita Springs, all lanes blocked. Pennsylvania Avenue and Playa del Rey Lane. And then Bonita as well, crash I-75 southbound at Bonita Beach Road. And you are up to date. We'll have another update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. He is the news, Mark Haney. What can you expect? Well, he's about ready to tell you. He's going to give you today's headlines right now.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
How much money do you need to have for the average American to consider you rich?
Ooh.
We'll have the answer.
$500,000. I don't.
We'll have the answer.
You talking about sitting in the bank?
Yeah. Money you have.
Liquid or proper? Less than an hour.
I don't even think that differentiation is made.
All right. Less than an hour.
Pringles is releasing a new mystery flavor.
Thank you, no.
Guess it, and you could win $10,000.
Well. And that won't make you rich, but it's nice.
I bet pickles and cream.
Well, whatever they can create a dust for, that can go be sprinkled on the thing. If it comes in dust form,
a fat kid started walking to school and lost weight. An 11-year-old wrote to the Prime Minister of New Zealand hoping to get a job training their dragons.
Ah.
And finally, Dateline Longwood, Florida. A man is arrested for shooting hoops nude.
Jeez.
But he had a perfectly reasonable excuse for doing so.
He did?
Yes.
It enhances my skill level.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Longwood, that's near Orlando.
Everything's near Orlando.
Yep. Laughter, come on, laughter. It's about fun. Damn it. 4 o'clock.
You call this fun, do you?
4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies. Well, just a heads up for the listeners. I'm on 75 northbound Bonita Beach Road. Southbound is cleared up. Well, tell that to the person that's doing traffic, sending us a traffic report that's about 15, 20 minutes old. Fast cleanup. Idiot. Sorry. Sorry about that. You know, I'm not there. I'm not a traffic cop.
No. No, you're not.
Thank you, Haney.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about the trade deal or lack thereof of China. Markets are trying to figure out how do we price this in. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons you are not in the stock market.
Top reasons you're not in the stock market.
In fairness, you looked into it. Mm. And then you were informed in order to invest, you have to have money.
Yeah. It's called having money.
Thank you, no, sir. You're saving up all your cash for that penis enlargement surgery. The last time you tried, you went all in on Microsoft when they rolled out the Zune. Game changer.
Where is he, by the way?
Who?
Dave.
Egg yolk?
Yeah.
Out gathering eggs.
Yeah. Buffoon.
You don't have any money to invest in the stock market. You went all in on Beanie Babies in the 90s.
Laugh it up. We know people who did. We know people who did. These are going to be collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be worth a lot of money. This is my retirement.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
You can't stand to watch CNN when that Dow Jones is spewing his liberal BS. Just a massive pyramid scheme that will inevitably collapse under its own weight. Plus, we got Social Security.
Yeah. Think about that. Dave's 45. You got to put into Social Security throughout your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't. That's not good. You know, you have that at least to look forward to. You start working at 16.
Mm-hmm.
You got that to at least to look forward to, not him.
And if you start working at 16, at some point during your working career, you'll hit the point where it's the maximum benefit you can get.
That's it. He ain't there yet.
There's also, a minimum benefit, is
there? Yes. He ain't there yet.
Laugh it up.
Yeah.
Your bank balance has 6 zeros and nothing else.
A lot of zeros.
And finally, the very top reason you aren't in the stock market.
Yes.
You found a better way to invest your money. It's called amateur pornography. And that, my friends, is the Farm Farm.
Helmut has left the building.
Email time. Ahoy.
That's it, baby.
At stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Here we go. I always like hearing from you. This is from Patricia, who sent a little picture along. I'll show Haney. Guys, just thinking of you while in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. Evidently in a little antique shop and found a old S&H green stamp sign.
Oh, that's great.
Thought of us. Because that, if you think about that, S&H green stamp's not around anymore. And it has
they used to be at Publix. Yeah,
and it has our initials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was always something with us as kids. Collect those S&H green stamps. Then you can get a AMF VoIP basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So
I remember lots of times helping my Grammy fill out her stamp books.
Yep, you'd really pray for those big 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had them 25s, 10s, and then the singles. In the singles, you had to stick a whole thing to a page for it to count.
Yeah, I remember helping her do that. And then we went into the S&H store, which was right next to Publix.
Yeah.
one day, and I was so impressed because we turned in like a ton of stamp books, and she got like a mixer or something that she'd really use.
A percolator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd get your get yourself a like a plastic leather baseball glove. I mean, if you saved a lot, you could get some nice prizes.
Well, yeah.
That was too.
Well, I told you, you know, she made money with her kitchen, so she took her stamp books and got herself another piece of equipment.
There you go. This one is not signed.
But then it would be a bitch because we'd end up at Cloth World.
Yeah. I remember the right next at the S&H Green Stamp store and the Singer Sewing Machine store.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the biggies when you had to be stuck with mom.
And then down at the end would be either an Eckerd's or a Walgreens.
Yeah.
Only the drugstore at the end.
Guys, a question. Would you guys even give... this is a contest idea. I'm sorry.
I didn't know we were farming those out.
I don't know either. Would you guys even give someone in your audience a chance to sit in for a show?
Yeah, but it'd be a lot of money. We'll have to have Mangus set it up.
Let me tell you something. There's nothing you want to see here. There really isn't. And we've had people sit in.
We're not supposed to tell people that there's nothing.
This is the sweatshop right here. You enjoy the product.
Yeah, but you don't tell them that.
People have come in here and sat you down and they go, that's it?
It's very glamorous.
It's not. Hey, guys.
Not everybody's allowed in here.
Can I come in and sit in for a break?
You got to admit that. Not everybody's allowed in here.
Not everybody. Then they go and they look. That's it? This is where you
I
work?
I know. There's a lot of disappointment. But by then, the check is cleared.
Yeah. So, no, we're not going to consider that.
Oh, when we're here, magic happens. When we're not here...
Yeah.
Well.
And I still remember this. Talking about people coming into the studio. And I think I talked about this not too. When Eddie Money was one of his many visits,
mm-hmm.
We told people.
When that we were shaking with the money, man.
We'd let people in two at a time to come and personally meet Eddie Money, get an autograph.
And it sounded great.
And then move on.
Mm-hmm.
Got everybody here so mad because at the front entrance, there was a line and they were starting to get unruly.
Yep.
And then we'd let two in.
And then Eddie would start to get a little scared.
Yeah. He was a very timid man. Jesus. We
protected him.
The Guardian.
Jesus.
We always did protect him. Okay, let's see. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, what fun it is to watch the deep state come apart. They're turning on each other like the criminals they are. Now, this thing with Biden and his son.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is scandalous. This thing with Biden and his son. Why in the hell are they both not in jail?
It's a good question.
He's on tape talking about it.
Yes. I mean, the information is out there. It's public. It's clear. All of this stuff is out there. And it's clear. It just comes down to, does anybody care about it? Well, guess what? It seems like we've got an attorney general now that does.
Yeah. Why aren't they in jail? I guess one corrupt Democrat at a time. Still one big...
Oh, with Biden, it is... If you ever look into it...
It's horrible.
It's blatant.
That's what the Ukraine's...
and China...
Now, the Ukraine's, there was a company that his son was working for, and the Ukrainian government was investigating it.
Yes.
And he demanded that it was U.S. money that was... this guy was fired...
He was in the Ukraine to present them with one of those giant checks, you're a big winner.
In the billions.
$1 billion. And... He let it be known, you need to fire the prosecutor that is investigating my son, or Ukraine, wave bye-bye to that billion dollars. He is on
camera saying it,
bragging about it. And he goes, I said, I'm leaving here in 6 hours. If that prosecutor is not fired, the $1 billion goes home with me. And then he says, and I'll be a son of a bitch. Fired that prosecutor. Put in a solid guy.
Yep.
And then China, despite the fact that young Hunter Biden has no experience in energy or equities or any of that, he ended up getting billions of dollars in deals from the Chinese government. Now, to give you an idea, who was he competing with for this money?
Who?
Goldman Sachs,
yep.
Morgan Stanley.
Yep.
Instead, it went to Hunter Biden, and then he and Daddy got on a plane 2 weeks later to finish the deal with the Chinese. Now, you're not going to believe this. I swear you're not. You know who his partners in all this are?
Who?
Well, there's Hunter Biden. Then there's the Heinz boy, John Kerry's stepson.
Stepson, yeah. He's the Heinz manufacturer.
And guess who the third partner is?
Who?
A gentleman by the name of James Bulger.
Whitey Bulger?
Whitey Bulger's son is the partner with Hunter Biden and the Heinz boy. You can't make this stuff up.
No.
And then to have him on camera bragging about
he brags about it. Like he carries a lot of clout. Because he just has to get on the phone with Obama and that check stops.
Well, they said, you know, he's not that smart.
I tend
to believe him. Because he's done. He just doesn't know it yet.
I was so sad to see the passing of Tim Conway, one of the funniest people.
Can you believe that?
Yes, I know.
Whitey Bulger's son.
One of the funniest people. His performances on Carol Burnett Classic. The one they did with the dentist and Harvey Korman, so funny. It's reported that Harvey Korman actually peed his pants during that bit. And and let's not forget his performance as Dorf. If you ever see it, if you've never seen it, watch it. I guarantee you'll laugh. You guys are the best sign of the Guardian.
Jesus.
Watching those guys on Carol Burnett, and I know you had to feel the same way. As a kid watching them, you have a much better BS radar. And watching them as a kid, I remember thinking, those guys are having so much
fun
right now.
Yep. Because they wanted to break each other up, go off script.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a guest coming on in just a minute. And let me tell you, when you can nab somebody like this.
Well, timing is everything.
Timing is everything. Where do you find out who we got coming on in just a few minutes? Timing everything, as topical as today's latest TV programs. Oh, I can't wait.
This is a big gap.
Big, big.
Two radio vagabonds who have somehow stolen your heart, Southwest Florida. Stan and Haney in the afternoon.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, I got something big here coming up here in just a second, so just hold tight. Timing is everything. Going to get you updated on traffic first. Then I want to tell you about Busch Gardens and how you get a chance to go and maybe experience the new ride, Tigress. But let's get you updated, and then special guest.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, one thing on the board. It just seems like everything is happening in Bonita Springs today. A crash, Bonita Beach Road Southeast and South Tamiami Trail. That's what's on the board right now. You're up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. We've been doing it all week long, and you will have your chance this week
as 96K Rock has your free tickets to ride Florida's largest roller coaster at Busch Gardens Tampa. It's Tigress. Now get a load of this. This Tigress is a new triple-launch steel coaster that will catapult riders through twists, drops, surges, rolls, all at more than 60 miles per hour. Now, if you want more information on Tigress, you can go to 96krock.com or on the K-Rock mobile app. But all this week, chances for you to win. As I said, timing is everything. I got word that this person was available, and I said, absolutely, absolutely. I guess this is the music to Game of Thrones. That's what I'm told. On the phone with us, you know him as Jobe Lannister on Game of Thrones. It is Sir Edward Tyburn. Sir Edward.
Yes. Pleasure to join you.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on the show. You star in Game of Thrones 10 years series finale this Sunday night. And you got to be excited, right?
Well, it is rather amazing. And one thing I must correct you on.
Yes.
You referred to me as the star of Game of Thrones. I think
one of the stars
might differ with you, but I think you and I see eye to eye on
okay,
that.
So... you don't have a big part in the show?
I think I have a very important part, especially... I had a big one last week.
Uh-huh. What happened? Is something about getting burned by a dragon or something?
Well, I'm sure you know what I've found is that the fans of this show, in many ways, they know more about it than I do.
Right.
So I'm sure you'll know, and the fans will know, if you know the scene where Jon Snow and Grey Worm confront the Lannister army when they are inside, past the gate of King's Landing. This is long after the Golden Company has been decimated, and it's pretty much the Lannister household guard on their own, facing off against all these barbarians and dragons flying.
Wow.
And we agree to surrender.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see me, or at least my hand, as I place my sword on the ground. Now, I believe when the point comes that we actually have to pick our swords back up to defend ourselves, I think I might be, I want to say, somewhere between the third and fifth soldier to pick up the sword.
Uh-huh. We're talking
so
with...
So that would be me. That would be me. And
Sir
of course,
Edward Tyburn.
You've seen me many times.
No, I haven't.
Throughout the show.
whole 10 years?
I am a Lannister. And what do we know about Lannisters?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Look, I'll be honest with you. I can't pass
the Lannisters...
up this...
What is it? The Lannisters are very famous for a certain saying. It must have slipped your mind.
You must have.
What if I said to you, my good sir, may I borrow £10?
Uh-huh.
And what would you say?
I don't know. Sir Edward, I've never seen the show.
I'll help you, because it'll come right to you.
I don't even know what it's about.
If I ask you to borrow £10, what would you say to me?
I'll gladly give you £10 tomorrow.
know, you might be a bit off because you don't know me.
So I would say,
Why would I give you £10?
Yeah, I don't know you.
Why would I give you £10?
Well, I don't know. Why would you? Look, I don't know
just,
about
just
this
just
show.
Just say, I don't know you.
I don't know you.
Why would I give you £10?
Why would I give you £10?
And then I would say, because I'm a Lannister.
Uh-huh.
Then I would say.
What? What would you say?
What would you guess?
I'm a Lannister. I'd be glad to give you £10.
No, you're not a Lannister. I am a Lannister, and a Lannister always pays their debt.
Okay.
You don't know this, honestly?
No, we're with Sir Edward Tyburn. Can you tell me what the show's about? It's about flying dragons.
Have you ever seen the show?
No. No, I have. This is an opportunity to be relevant with what's going on in society right now with a big conclusion. Tell me, what is the show about? You play Job Lannister. What is he, a king? You're a sir in real life? What is it about?
I am the second cousin, twice removed, of Lancel Lannister.
Who's that?
Lancel Lannister is at the upper crust of the Lannister family.
Like a king?
No, like a queen.
Are you the one that with the blonde lady queen... that hatched the eggs?
No, that would be Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen.
What about
first
that throne with all
name,
the spikes? The spikes
queen
that are in there.
Queen of the Andals and the First Men. Breaker. What?
There's some big chair that you sit in that's got like spikes and stuff coming out of it.
Yes.
What is that?
That would be the Iron Throne.
Okay. And
that would be where the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms puts their bomb.
And who is the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms? Where? What is this? Take place in Europe somewhere?
You mean where do we actually shoot, or
no,
where does the
story? You're talking about it being a Lannister. That's a character. Am I right? Your name is Sir Edward Tyburn. Sir, were you knighted at one point by the Queen?
Yes, I was.
When did that happen?
That happened in the 90s when global warming was very hot and all you had to do was say it's wrong and you were knighted.
And how did that make you feel?
It was sort of nice. I believe that that Charles probably pushed it through because I said global warming is wrong.
Why is this show so popular? What is it? Game of Thrones.
Because it's pretty effing good.
And you're in it.
Yes.
But you don't... Do you star in... Is your name in the beginning of the show?
It's at the end.
In the ending credits. Okay. So, 10 years. Were you on this show in the first 10 years?
Yes.
All right. And how'd that make you feel?
Good. Very good.
Okay. So why do you think there's so much excitement about this season finale? The only thing I heard was some blonde girl on a flying dragon burned to town. Is that true?
I'd say that that's quite accurate, yes.
Okay. So that's what the show is about, a girl with a dragon that burns a town.
Yes.
And it takes place in a fictional town, kingdoms?
Well, where that took place, the town that was burned...
What's the name of it?
King's Landing.
Okay.
And it is on the continent of Westeros. And on the continent of Westeros, that is the home of the Seven Kingdoms.
Okay.
Now, across the narrow sea is Essos.
Okay. That's like the Atlantic Ocean.
Many people say that it's similar to the Channel.
English Channel?
Yes.
All right. And is that where the dead people live?
The dead people.
What are they called?
White Walkers.
White Walkers.
Well, and then we just call it garden variety white.
Is Jobe Lannister a White Walker?
My character, Jobe Lannister, was not a White Walker. However, I did play a White Walker. It was a separate role because, well, you can't really see who it is.
So you don't have a recognizable face. Kind of. You don't have a recognizable face on this show.
That's arguable.
What do you wear, a mask or something? Kind of like those movies, The Man in the Iron Mask?
Well, when one is a member of the Lannister army, one puts on armor.
They say that every episode is like a movie within itself. So that would make you not a TV star, but a movie star and knighted.
Well, that's very flattering. As a matter of fact, they did. I believe it was season 5. Uh-huh. They actually had a go at it and put several episodes in the cinema.
Right. I don't recall that either. But I think this is great. Not. This is great that you're not. Sir Edward Tyburn, star, the leading actor in Game of Thrones. 10 years coming to an end. Series finale this Sunday. What time does that come on? Do you know what time that comes on?
Where I live, it comes on at 2 a.m.
2 a.m?
Yes.
All right, but they repeat it. HBO repeats everything. So be sure to catch the repeat.
I don't think it comes on at 2 a.m. in America.
Well, we have time zones in America. We have Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific.
What time zone are you in?
I'm in the Eastern time zone, Sir Edward.
Then it would be 5 hours behind. It would be at 9 o'clock.
All right. Well, we'll check the local listing for this thing.
And
I might give it a try.
I really, really want to thank you for this interview.
Absolutely. I think that it's important that with a show coming to the end, what was it, 9, 10 years coming to an end?
10 years of hard work, and this tape will be going to the producers and the creators of the show, and it will be used as an illustration of why Sir Edward is no longer allowed to do publicity.
Is there a spinoff? Was this a spinoff from something? Was this a book?
This was several books.
Several books. and this season is like the last book.
The series is beyond the books.
Well, then it's based on nothing.
There are several books, and it's a series of them,
mm-hmm.
called A Song of Fire and Ice by George R. R. Martin.
So that's for young readers, summer reading program?
I think it's lovely for all, but as the show was in production, the show progressed past where the books had actually progressed.
Is this like anything like Harry Potter?
I would say Harry Potter is probably more juvenile. There's a lot of gratuitous sex and violence.
Oh, I read something about that, about sisters doing brothers and all the incestuous stuff that goes on and a lot of nudity.
And graphic nudity and violence. I've been involved in both. Some of the actors aren't entirely comfortable and their manhood, so yeah. I just step in when need be.
Oh, for like close-ups.
Yes, and they do that.
Okay.
They did it quite frequently early on. Now they're a bit gun-shy, but
right.
I stand at the ready.
All right, there he is, everybody, the star of Game of Thrones season finale tonight.
Yeah, and you
might have a hit on your hands.
About the White Walkers, there's a lot of historical references. It's based loosely on the War of the Roses.
Okay.
And the ice wall that was supposed to keep the dead out could be an analog to Hadrian's Wall.
What?
you got
me on that one, buddy. I appreciate you coming on, and best of luck on the show. I'm sure it's going to be a big hit.
Thanks for being a fan.
I am a big fan.
Jesus.
Okay.
Hope that made all of you Thronesies happy. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest novelties, a fabulous boy prodigy,
the most amazing of all the chimp acts that have ever come to show business.
He said, as you recall, everybody remembers this one, here's an act that'll scare the life out of you. From China. He's been in India. He's been all over the world. Just back from Las Vegas, the Italian Casanova, a Texas friend of mine, my handsome Italian paisano, today's greatest living American. Here's the man I invited to Christmas dinner.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
I thought that interview went well. Hey, everybody.
Very professional.
Yeah. Stan and Haney. Satisfy our Thronesies out there.
That was nice of you.
Yeah.
Watching you work your magic.
Yeah. Mark Haney in the news coming
sounded
up
sounded like a young Larry King.
Well, yeah. He always said be unprepared for an interview and ask questions that the average person would ask. So that's what I did because I've never seen the show.
That's kind of a lot, though, for a show that's been on 10 years and
yeah.
What's it about?
I don't know what it's about. And he tried to explain, but I didn't know what he was talking to me about.
It's like, you know how you hate it when people ask you what your show is about.
Yeah. I can't answer it. Can't.
Oh, I don't know what it is either.
Yeah. We kill time. We're going to check traffic. Mark Haney in the news coming up. Rob's show at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. Let's get you updated on traffic brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, a couple of things on the board. We got a crash. Fort Myers, 6 Mile Cypress, and Metro Parkway. And this one showing up in Lehigh Acres. Got a crash in the 3400 block of 67th Street West. If you know where that is, you got a crash there.
And 3400 plus 16. I can remember that.
Yep.
3416. And what city is that in?
Lehigh Acres.
3400 block of 16.
Yep.
Is that the Terrace Avenue?
Let me tell you something. The rare times that I go up to Lehigh Acres, you go on roads up there that go to nowhere, and they go forever. It's like, where am I going? I've been in Lehigh Acres now for a half hour.
And sometimes you'll look in a vacant lot and see a dismembered foot.
Yep. That was dumped there back in the 70s. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Bernard Kalb in San Clemente, Bob Schieffer in Mitchell, South Dakota, Barry Serafin in Towson, Maryland, Terry Drinkwater in Rockville, Maryland, Jeff Williams in Ayrshire, Iowa, Jed Duval in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Richard Threlkeld in Prineville, Oregon, Bruce Dunning in Cat Lai, South Vietnam, and Bruce Hall in Miami.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, May 15th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
Now, I want you to think about this. People don't realize how dangerous baseball is.
It is dangerous. You see those pitchers dodge a line drive that can go right to their head?
And I've told the story many times at Dodgers spring training, saw an old lady get hit smack in the head with a line drive, and it was like she'd been shot.
Mm-hmm. It's a bullet.
She fell to the ground. Her husband is about having a heart attack. The medical people come over. Everything stops.
Yep.
Has a baseball player ever died from an injury during a Major League Baseball game?
Yes, there has been.
the 1920s.
Guy got hit in the head and was killed. 1920s. Yes. I think it's very rare, but yes.
That's pretty good. That had to have come from a baseball encyclopedia or something you read on the toilet.
I was reading about it. They had the guy that used to take vintage pictures of baseball players for baseball cards and all of that stuff back in the tobacco card days. They had a picture and it was a caption, died from being hit in the head and was in the 1920s. I don't know much else about it.
But that's pretty good recall. Ray Chapman of the Cleveland Indians was hit in the head with a pitch in 1920 and died 12 hours later.
Jeez.
I'm actually kind of shocked that it hasn't happened more.
Well, you got batting helmets now. You got the ones now that protect the jaw. Back in those days, just a soft cap, a regular baseball cap, and they got... They said, and I read something about this, Lou Gehrig, the Iron Horse, had to be taken out, had the Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Considered himself the luckiest man in the world. May have gotten a bad break.
Yeah, but he's got an awful lot to live for. He got hit in the head numerous times, knocked him out cold, and they're talking about concussions and all that, but they didn't know anything about it. I don't know if it affects you, affects the central nervous system. But yeah, they didn't start wearing helmets until like the late 50s.
You know, you gotta keep your eyes open if you're at a sporting event.
Yes, you do.
Because I've seen it in hockey where that puck takes off like
you
a bullet.
I was at the game that night when my daughter couldn't have been any more than 5 or 6 years old. We were at the hockey game. You were calling you were on the PA, and we were up suite level, but walking around where behind the nets where the concessions mm-hmm. are up on that level.
Yep.
And puck came flying up there.
And it's the last thing you're expecting.
And don't ask me how my reflexes were, but the puck came at like a bullet, and I stepped on it and stopped it. And it really could have killed somebody. Now they got the nets.
Yeah, but even with the nets, still, not difficult to get over that glass.
You know, baseball, hockey, small flying projectile going over 100 miles an hour.
And what makes it the most deadly, I mean, it'll always hurt you, but what really gets people hurt is that they're not paying attention at that instant.
Yep. It even says it on the tickets, pay attention. They'll even, you used to announce it, pay attention. Keep an eye on the puck.
The United States has been around for 243 years.
Yes, it has.
Out of those years, how many of them was the United States involved in at least one war?
I would say a majority of those years, well into the
120s. 226. And we have never, ever had a president that has gone their entire term without the country being involved in some sort of war.
Yeah, remember, Reagan had Grenada.
Every one of them had something.
Yep.
You know, I love the video game, Stan.
You always have, Haney.
And it's always, we're always looking forward with anticipatory delight towards the next generation of consoles. It's going to be even better, faster, better.
You know, think about this, and I read something. It's been a long stretch of time since, like, PlayStation or Xbox has come out with a new deal.
Well, there's a reason for that. They did something a little bit different this time.
Because it used to change every few years. It would be a new box. Mm-hmm.
What they did this time is you had the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One as the new generation of consoles.
Right, and that's what's out now.
And they looked at the marketplace and they said, we're not ready for the next generation. But what they realized is we got to do something about 4K support.
Oh, so now you can get an Xbox One, but it's 4K.
Well, both consoles have gone about it in different ways. The PS4 came out with something they call the PS4 Pro. And it's pretty much there just for 4K.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Xbox One went the other way and came out with the Xbox One X,
where
it handles 4K, but they put a ton more horsepower in it, where it's really like a generation and a half, where the PS4 Pro is the PS4 with 4K support.
Right. I just have a regular Xbox One.
Well, I love the Xbox One X. I think it's the best one they've ever made.
Okay, Xbox One games playing it?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, some of your Xbox 360s and original Xbox One's disc plays in it.
Like my Wolfenstein?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do a lot with backwards compatibility.
What the? I know what you meant.
I can't devolve into Stan talk. Yeah. Only one of us can get away with that. Yeah. Compatibility.
Thank you, Andy.
Sony's not real big on that.
Right.
Xbox is. But the reason I bring all that up, what console has had the longest lifespan of any of them?
I think the ones we just described.
Well, those are the current ones.
Yeah, and they've been around longer than the other ones. Before they changed and stopped making them and stopped supporting them?
The very first Sega has the longest lifespan of any video game console, and it's not even close. The Sega Master System came out in 1986. And it's still around. Why?
Why?
It is still being produced in Brazil by a company that bought the rights to it. And I guess in Brazil, they're still coming out with new games for it.
Wow.
All right, I will end today's Things You Didn't Know with a real softball for Stan.
What?
I will tell you right now, I will be shocked if he misses this one.
That's great.
It's a real layup. This is from the ladies' tea, Stan. Enjoy it.
Right.
No pressure at all.
All right. Yeah, none.
What is the oldest newspaper in the United States?
I was reminded of it every single day. Start every day right with the Hartford Courant.
That is correct.
They had that right on the paper.
What did it say on the paper?
America's or the nation's oldest continuous newspaper. You know where it would have in the New York Times all the news that's fit to print?
Yeah, right under the masthead.
Yeah,
there,
and it would have start every day right with the Hartford Courant, America's oldest newspaper.
Now, do you know how long it's been published?
In the 1700s. I know that because when they would have their anniversaries, I told you, they'd give you the front pages from history.
Mm-hmm. The Hartford Courant has been published without a break since 1764.
Since before we were a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of time, there was a daytime paper in Hartford called the Hartford Times. That started in the 1700s, and they went out of business when, afternoon papers were no longer important.
Man, newspapers used to be so important.
Mm-hmm.
They still are. We just don't really have them. Did you hear what happened in New Orleans?
What? The Picayune?
Without warning, just one day, they were all fired.
Whoa!
All of them. And the paper was sold to their competitor, which is built on a website.
Different world.
Now, you might think, oh, that's people get fired all the time. But you're talking about the institutional memory of a newspaper shown the door.
Yep. I had looked at it like with the Hartford Times, the afternoon one. I think the building, you want to talk about architecture. I mean, this was like the central part of Hartford where the Times building was. And I think it was incorporated with a college now. It's like a college facility in Hartford. But you walk down there and it has nothing to do with a newspaper anymore. But you look up and across in granite, it still has the Hartford Times from, you know, decades and decades ago.
That's why you want it done right. You do it in granite.
Yep. Stays there. It's a historical building. There's no nothing to do with newspapers in there anymore.
Yeah, but it's historic because of newspapers, and we don't really notice that.
No. Nope.
Nice building.
Yeah. Beautiful architecture.
Yeah. Of course, we couldn't build anything like that today.
No, I don't think we could.
Certainly not for a newspaper. Oh, please. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
The Diamond District sells more diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida. Therefore, they buy more diamonds than any other jeweler as well. This season has been extremely successful for Jason and Todd, and they're currently buying diamonds at a rapid pace to replace inventory. If you've ever thought of selling your diamonds or trading in on something new, now is the perfect time to visit the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point. Diamonds and jewelry can be rare pieces and command very high prices when evaluated by experienced and qualified professionals. The Diamond District has several GIA graduate gemologists and buyers on staff every day to help identify your treasures. The Diamond District has the largest selection of Forevermark and GIA loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find online. Your diamonds and jewelry could be worth lots of money and should be evaluated by an expert. Visit Jason and Todd and discover why more people choose the Diamond District when selling or trading their diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. There's a 17-year-old kid in Canton, Ohio. His name is Michael Watson. He's graduating from high school this month.
Good for him.
And Michael has had what doctors call a bit of a weight problem.
Oh, yeah.
For most of his young life.
That's too bad. Tubby.
At one point, he was at 325 pounds and rising. But about a year ago, he realized he was sorry that he got fat.
I will slim down.
And he decided to do something about it.
Stop going to Wendy's and Burger King. And
eating fatty foods. Fixing to go on a strict diet.
Sorry that I got fat.
I will slim down. How did I think I was going to avoid that?
I don't know.
I really thought I was going to avoid it.
Sorry that I got fat.
I will slim down.
Yeah.
Got up to 325.
Yeah. That's his peak.
Poor guy.
You got it?
Yeah, I will eventually.
All right. Because you're going to have to cut it down to 2.
Oh, I don't care.
Okay.
Nothing important anyway.
Yeah.
Taking me longer than I wanted.
Yeah, it's taking you a little bit of time.
Well, I had to switch to a different service because he's not that popular.
Right. But he's been featured many times on our show.
Yes.
He had what doctors call a mental issue.
And a weight problem.
And a weight problem.
But, you know, he didn't let it beat him.
No.
It never beat him.
No. Did you find it yet? There we go. We took the scenic route right there.
Michael overhauled his diet and stopped eating pizza and fatty foods every day. And then he decided to walk to school. And lost weight.
It's called that I'm sorry that I got fat.
He says the secret is down. You gotta want it.
Yeah.
This is the song.
Says it was hard.
Yeah. That I'm fixing to lose weight and go on a strict diet. The first time when I got fat, I was eating those fatty hamburgers, fries, and all that. That's what I'm gonna do something about it right now. And this is the song that I just wrote about. I'm sorry that I got fat. I was slimmed down. So here it goes right now. Before I got fat,
I was slim.
That was this time when I was eating McDonald's.
Yep. Wendy's.
I kept eating McDonald's for 5 years. Something about it. I'm sorry that I got fat. I'm sorry that I got fat. I'm sorry that I got fat.
I will slim down.
I've been trying to lose weight, but it's time taking. It's been time taking that I'm fixing to stay away from Wendy's, Burger King, and McDonald's, plus White Castles. That's what
and that's that.
I'm sorry that I got fat.
Sorry that I got fat.
I'm sorry that I got fat.
I will slim down.
I'm getting tired of eating McDonald's. That's the same as I'm tired of eating Wendy's,
Burger King,
White Castle, yep. And other places.
And other places.
Let me tell you when and how I'm losing weight.
Oh. Something about it.
I was slammed down. I was slammed down. I was slammed down. I was slammed down.
Jeez.
I'm sorry that I got fat. I was slammed down. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, Stan, in the ancient Olympics, the athletes were totally nude.
That's true.
But not so much in Longwood, Florida today.
Just outside of Orlando.
Frowned upon. Police in Longwood got a call Sunday night about a naked man at the park. And sure enough, when they arrived there, They found 29-year-old Jordan Anderson completely nude shooting hoops.
All right.
According to the police report, because, you know, police are required when they see things like this to ask why,
mm-hmm.
in case there might be a reason.
Yep.
The police asked Jordan Anderson what he was doing, playing basketball nude, and he had a ready explanation.
What was it?
I was working on my basketball skills and playing naked enhanced my skill level.
Now, we have no way of knowing if that was true or not.
Did he even have a jock on?
No. Whether it enhanced his skills or not, what we do know is he was arrested for indecent exposure.
Enhance my skill level. Yes.
And that's the nudes for today, Wednesday, May 15th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I'm sorry that I got that. I will slim down.
There he is. Little Monkey Haney telling it like it is.
No matter what.
Fixing
it like it is.
Fixing to do something about it.
Yep.
I'm fixing to go on a strict diet.
You say something about fixings?
Yep.
Mark Haney and the news brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney.
To be a true champion, you need pride, vision, and perseverance. You need these same qualities to be a moderately successful afternoon FM talk show. Do you really expect people to believe this shit? Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Oh, I wish we just had a little video of that interaction.
Yeah, he's a bonehead. Egg yolk.
Dave's waving at him, you know, I love you, see you later. Yeah. And Stan gives him the old cuckoo sign.
Yeah, you know, the swirl around the air, that
yep.
cookie. Let's get you updated.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah, idiot.
Cuckoo.
Rob show coming up at 6 o'clock. We got time for one more look at traffic here.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just such a clown ass. All three of these are in Lehigh Acres. We have a crash. Lee Boulevard and Homestead Road North, right by the CVS. A hit and run.
Oh, jeez.
4700 block of 13th Street Southwest. And then a crash, Westgate Boulevard and Lee Boulevard, right by the Speedway.
Now, is that on the east side of Westgate?
It is. Doesn't say. I don't know. I don't go up there.
Nope.
Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
People get delayed at the airport. They go crazy. Well, the news, like, indulges them. I think that's the problem, is the news goes there and interviews the delayed, like they're Cambodian refugees. We were out there for 2 hours, and all we had was everything. Every snack, every beverage, my iPod, my laptop, 36 channels of DirecTV. We're forced to survive with a better cable package than I have in my living room for 2 hours. And they go back to the anchor. He's horrified. Oh, what a story down at the airport tonight. Our hearts go out to them and their families. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, our top story tonight, white people inconvenienced. Yes. Yes, delicate white people forced to wait several hours before embarking on their 6-week all-inclusive cruise of the Caribbean. Sure. Sure, there's famine, drought, and war elsewhere, but those people don't look like you. So let's go back to the airport, where people who could be your aunt are mildly uncomfortable.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. Back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. On the phone with us, you know him as Job Lannister on Game of Thrones. It is Sir Edward Tyburn. Sir Edward.
Yes, pleasure to join you.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on the show. You star in Game of Thrones 10 years series finale this Sunday night. And you got to be excited, right?
Well, it is rather amazing. And one thing I must correct you on.
Yes.
You referred to me as the star of Game of Thrones. I think
one of the stars
to differ with you, but I think you and I see eye to eye on
that. So, we're with Sir Edward Tyburn. Can you tell me what the show is about? It's about flying dragons.
Have you ever seen the show?
No. No, I have. This is an opportunity to be relevant with what's going on in society right now with a big conclusion. Tell me, what is the show about?
I am the second cousin, twice removed, of Lancel Lannister.
Who's that?
Lancel Lannister is at the upper crust of the Lannister family.
Like a king?
No, like a queen.
Are you the one that with the blonde lady queen, that hatched the eggs?
No. That would be Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen.
What about
first
that throne with all
name,
the spikes? The spikes
queen
that are in there.
Queen of the Andals and the First Men. Breaker. What?
There's some big chair that you sit in that's got like spikes and stuff coming out of it.
Yes.
What is that?
That would be the Iron Throne.
Okay, and
that would be where the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms puts their bomb.
Why is this show so popular?
Because it's pretty effing good.
Why do you think there's so much excitement about this season finale? The only thing I heard was some blonde girl on a flying dragon burned to town. Is that true?
I'd say that that's quite accurate, yes.
Okay, so that's what the show is about, a girl with a dragon that burns a town.
Yes.
And it takes place in a fictional town, kingdoms?
Well, where that took place, the town that was burned...
What's the name of it?
King's Landing.
Okay.
And it is on the continent of Westeros. And on the continent of Westeros, that is the home of the Seven Kingdoms.
Okay.
Now, across the narrow sea is Essos.
Okay. That's like the Atlantic Ocean. And is that where the dead people live?
The dead people.
What are they called? If,
White Walkers.
Is Jobe Lannister a White Walker?
My character, Jobe Lannister, was not a White Walker. However, I did play a White Walker. It was a separate role because, well, you can't really see who it is.
So you don't have a recognizable face. You don't have a recognizable face on this show.
That's arguable.
Do you, what do you wear, a mask or something? Kind of like those movies, The Man in the Iron Mask?
Well, when one is a member of the Lannister army, one puts on armor.
Uh-huh. Is there a spinoff? Was this a spinoff from something? Was this a book?
This was several books.
Several books. and this season is like the last book.
The series is beyond the book.
Well, then it's based on nothing.
There are several books, and it's a series of them called A Song of Fire and Ice by George R. R. Martin.
So that's for young readers. Young readers, beginners, young readers, summer reading program.
I think it's lovely for all. But as the show was in production, the show progressed past where the books had actually progressed.
Like anything like Harry Potter?
I would say Harry Potter is probably more juvenile. There's a lot of gratuitous sex and violence.
Oh, I read something about that, about sisters doing brothers and all the incestuous stuff that goes on and a lot of nudity.
And graphic nudity and violence. I've been involved in both. Some of the actors aren't entirely comfortable in their manhood, so I just step in when need be.
Oh, for like close-ups?
Yes, and they do that.
Okay.
They did it quite frequently early on. Now they're a bit gun-shy. But
right.
I stand at the ready.
All right. There he is, everybody. The star of Game of Thrones season finale tonight.
Yeah, and you
might have a hit on your hands.
About the White Walkers, there's a lot of historical references. It's based loosely on the War of the Roses.
Okay.
And the ice wall that was supposed to keep the dead out could be an analog to Hadrian's Wall.
What?
you got
me on that one, buddy. I appreciate you coming on, and best of luck on the show. I'm sure it's going to be a big hit.
Thanks for being a fan.
I am a big fan.
Jesus.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.